My grandson got his discretion and his volume from his grandfather. So you may have to kind of tune him out a little bit. See? There was a little girl in my church that was the quietest thing throughout the song service, throughout all the preliminaries. She was just as quiet as she could be. But as soon as I got up to preach, she just sang and talked and raised Cain. And I figured she decided that, you know, I needed some help to kind of get the word across. It's good to be here. I treasure Mike and Leslie's friendship and the friendship with the family. And it means so much to me that he entrusts you to me. And I take that seriously. I warn you, though, that undelivered speech is a very painful condition for pastors. And I have been retired since 18. So I've got a lot of speeching to do. So y'all better be kind of comfortable, because we might be here for a while. I want to talk to you this morning about something that has been near and dear to my heart for a long time. It's called gleaning. How many of you know what gleaning is? Okay, what's gleaning?
It's picking up what's left over after harvest.
That's very good, right? And in God's economy, God's planning for his people, he instructed those who owned land and had property and had vineyards and had fields that were harvested not to suck everything out of it for themselves. They couldn't harvest the corners or the fence rows, and they couldn't rake the field after the harvesters would go through. So that those who didn't have fields and yet needed to eat could come through and then rake the field and get what was left over there from the harvesters and take that to the millers or to the vineyards and get sustenance for their life out of that. And it was a good provision. But how many of you have fields or vineyards that you could allow people to come in and glean out of? You have. Good for you. God bless you. And it's good if you have it to do it. But for the rest of us, we don't have that ability. And so today I thought I'd talk to you about how we might provide opportunities for people in 2020 so that we can have the blessing and they can have the blessing and we can continue the work of Christ and the work of God in our economies and in our world and our life. So we're going to read a couple of passages from Scripture. One of the most famous portions of Scripture where it talks about gleaning has to do with Ruth and Boaz, but the instructions about it come from Leviticus 19. Hear the word of the Lord. It says, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of the harvest. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger, because I am the Lord." That's God's instruction to us. And then in the case of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, in Ruth 2 it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one of those whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech." And as you know about the story of Ruth, not only did Boaz tell his harvesters to allow Ruth to harvest and to glean behind her, but he instructed them to be rather careless in their harvesting so they would leave extra for Ruth and Naomi because of his desire to provide for them. Let us look at this and the ideas that I have and read some other scriptures about it and make some applications from the passage. In what we see from this and from really the whole of Scripture, we see that God expects us to use His resources wisely. He calls us stewards. And stewardship is one who handles something for somebody else. We expect our bankers to be stewards of our resources. We expect our 401k people to be stewards of our resources. You as a congregation expect your deacons to be stewards of the monies that and the tithes and offerings that you bring to the house. We expect people to treat that as special and to take care of it and honor it and use it wisely in the Lord. And one of the premier responsibilities that we have as Christians is to recognize that we live in God's world. And nothing in this world has a title that bears our name. Now, we may have a title from the state of Texas that says we rent this piece of property until they get tired of paying, making us pay taxes on it. But we'll not talk about that right now. But the title of all the land belongs to God. And the title of all the resources that are in the world belong to God. And whatever part of that He has entrusted to us, we have to treat as if it's His. And be responsible for it. And answer to Him for it. So, no wasting His resources on cowboy tickets. I mean, that's just a terrible misuse of God's funds. Right? I mean, terrible, terrible use of God's funds. But seriously, no wasting His resources in ways that they shouldn't be wasted, because He expects us to take care of it. Psalm 24, 1 and 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." The world belongs to God, and we are the stewards of His resources. So I encourage you to remember that God has entrusted you with stewardship and to take care of the things He puts in your hands carefully and wisely. Now, the Bible has lots of examples of how to do that. It has the example of the 5 talents and the 3 talents and the 1 talent. And you should not follow the 1 talent person's advice or his example. You certainly follow the 5 talents and the 3 talents and do that wisely and correctly. That's what you should do. But you should take what He has entrusted you and use it wisely. The second thing that I want you to understand about gleaning as we are is that tithing is the starting point in our stewardship to God. God says, "Of every dollar I give you, 10 cents of it belongs to Me from the very beginning. And before you spend any of the 90 cents of that $1, you need to give Me my dime back." And that's a fundamental test from God, a fundamental instruction from God, a fundamental lesson from God to teach you that He will fulfill 100% of your need with 90% of your income. And that's a beginning step of faith. That's a beginning step of seeing that God is providing for us, and we don't have to make sure that it will be enough. God will make sure that it's enough. And I give you this example from my own life, and my wife and I's life. 50 years ago almost, when we got married, we agreed that we would tithe from all of our income. And so we began, and we had our income, and we gave our tithe, and we were able to write that check and do that every week without any problem at all. It wasn't many years after that start that our tithe was equal to what our income was when we got started. Now, I'm not promising you that if you start tithing today, that in a few years, your income will go up 10 times. I'm not promising that to you because God doesn't promise you. I'm just saying that I couldn't outgive God. God blessed and blessed richly and has allowed me to do lots of things because he found me faithful in the tithe. But I want you to understand that tithe is just the starting point. Because remember, we talk about tithes and offerings. God expects us to give the tithe. That's it. You've got to give that tithe. And shame on you if you keep his money in your pocket and try to spend it and try to stretch your life with his money. Shame on you. He will not take that well, and he will not treat you kindly when you do that. But then to the tithes, there are added offerings that you would give. Offerings of thanksgiving, offerings of celebration. When God blessed you in a rich way, you'd come forward and bring something to acknowledge that gift. There was more things that you would do. And it's back to the whole thing. It all belongs to God. And at any moment, at any day, he might require of you more than the tithe. He might require you 20%. He might require you 30%. He might require more of that from you because it belongs to him. And he may need that, and he may have given you that for the specific purpose for you to meet the need that he sets before you. So tithing is just the beginning place. It's just the starting place. And understand that God is serious about that tithing. In Malachi 3, 8 and 10, the word of the Lord says this: Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you will say, How are we robbing you? And he says, In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there will be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord. The Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it indeed overflows. When you hold out your hands to God, hold them out open so that he can fill them and you can see it spill over in his abundance. For I promise you that God has sworn that his children will not be seen begging in the streets and will not be seen living under bridges, begging. He will take care of them and provide for them because God takes care of his own. So not only should we remember that God has entrusted us with stewardship, but we'd also hold things of this world with an open hand because it really isn't ours. So then the question comes up is, how do you glean when there are no fields to harvest? I mean, what does somebody like me, who I own a few plots of ground, and if I put them all together, I might be able to raise enough tomatoes for a bacon and egg and cheese sandwich, but not much more than that. So what can I do? How can I approach gleaning in my life? And it goes down to squeezing everything out of what God does and holding with open hand and realizing that there are people all around us that are looking for work, that are living from the sweat of their brow, and they need work. People who cut grass, people who change oil in cars, people who clean houses, people who paint houses, people who put roofs on houses. You know, there are all kinds of things that we can do. You know, I'm not a real good carpenter, but I know how to cut a line, and I know how to use a tape measure, and I know how to nail a nail. But there are people out there that can do it much better than I can do, and they need the work. And so I, as a person who doesn't have a field to glean, have a responsibility, I think, before God to look for places where I can hire people to do things, and they work. They have a sense of dignity. They work for it. And I pay them money. And I'm not giving them something. I am paying them for their labor. They're earning for their life and doing for their stuff. And I'm able to share out of the abundance that God has given me. And I want you to know that it is not unrighteous And it is not unholy to hire out the jobs that you hate. I mean, I'm being fair with you. The scripture makes no discouragement or no penalty if you hate to cut the grass and so you hire that out. Or if you hate to clean the house and you hire that out, there is no penalty for doing that. So you needn't feel wicked if you hire somebody to do something that you hate to do as a way of providing for the people around you. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do something that you, not do something that you love to do so that somebody else could do it. I'm just saying that you shouldn't feel guilty if you hire only the jobs that you hate so that you can allow other people to work. And I think that as we begin to look at ourselves as God's stewards and look at the people around us as the people who need His provision, we can find room in our budgets, even in a time of great inflation, even in a time of supply side problems, even in a time in a world that's difficult as we're in right now, we can find room in our budgets to bless others by allowing them to work and earn their living. Because the people that gleaned in the Old Testament times, they had to gather the stuff, and then they had to carry it to the miller or to the vineyard to have them do what needed to be done out of it to make it food that they could keep, right? So they'd grind the wheat into meal. They'd squeeze the grapes and make wine and stuff out of that. They'd do that, and then they'd take their portion of that home to live off the rest of the year. So we can see ourselves as helping and providing and working for people so that they will have the dignity and the opportunity to work and live and not have to be seen begging in the streets. So strive to find and provide opportunity for those who have need. So look at your budgets, look at your stuff, and see what you can do. And the final thing I want you to look at today is that gleaning provides an excellent opportunity for evangelism. And here's the deal, right? I've heard people all my life say, I want people to watch how I live and learn about Jesus by watching how I live. And I want you to know it is an important, it's a significant thing to have a life that reflects Christ, right? But remember this, Christ was the best example ever. And He didn't expect people to figure it out just by watching what He did. He spent His time telling others, this is why I'm doing it. This is the purpose for what I'm doing. This is what I mean when I say these things. He did lots of explaining. So when you hire somebody to cut your grass, use it as an opportunity to tell them why you're doing it. When you hire somebody to clean your house, when you hire somebody to paint your house, when you hire somebody to put a roof on your house or fix your car or do whatever you decide is the job you want somebody else to do to glean, be sure and talk to them about why you're doing it so they can understand that you are a servant of the living God and that this is how servants of the living God live. So that they can then in turn become hungry and thirsty for the Word of God and they can come to believe in the Christ that we serve. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anybody light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before the men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. So in that sense, I encourage you to keep evangelism central to what you do. There are more people around us than there ever has been. and most of them don't know Christ. So go to work. So Mike told me to be sure and give you homework. So here's your homework. Examine your family budget for gleaning opportunities. Demonstrate your faith in God by creating new gleaning opportunities. And explain to someone who gleans in your field why you're doing what you do. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your many blessings. And we thank you for giving us the word that guides our thoughts and guides our ways. We pray that you will help us. Help us and encourage us to do your word and do it well. And we pray especially we would be good stewards of the scripture and of the truth about Christ. For this thing we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.